The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everyone, welcome into a special Friday edition at the Speak Up Table. You know, I'm happy to be here with you and with Sandpoint Council candidate Joe Tate. His name will be on your Sandpoint ballot seeking your vote next Tuesday. You know, when I was setting up our last Tuesday interview with Joe, I was using a mobile phone number that I had entered incorrectly into my phone. It was all on me. And so therefore, all my texts and all my alerts were going, I don't know where they were going. They were going out into cyberspace, but they weren't going to Joe. And it was my mistake completely. Joe has been so gracious about this, and he's here in the studio with me now. And I want you listeners to know what a great team we have here at Blue Sky Broadcasting to clear the airways and our schedule. And our general manager, Dylan, is the best. He made this happen. No hesitation. So, all right, let's take that first break, and we'll be right back with candidate Joe Tate.
The Co-op Gas and Supply Company is a true farm cooperative and has been for 91 years. The health and relevance of any cooperative is tied directly to the governing body, which listens to the voting membership. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company is actively pursuing voting members to join and participate in the governance of the company. If you are an agricultural producer, which includes farming and timber, you have the opportunity to become a voting member of the cooperative. Voting membership requires the acquisition of one share of common stock in the company. One share equals one vote on business, which comes up at the annual meeting. For more information on how to acquire stock and how to qualify as a producer, please call 208-263-6820. We look forward to speaking with you about this important membership opportunity. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 208-263-6820.
Industry-leading products, outstanding service, and customized comfort. That's AGE Heating and Cooling. AGE is a premier Lennox dealer, meaning specialty equipment training and high customer satisfaction, earning and maintaining a 4-plus star rating among customers. Lennox Equipment ensures your home comfort needs are met. Now offering electrical services. AGEHeatingandCooling.com. Experience the premier dealer difference today. Idaho HVAC Contractors, license number 059041.
The Pondere Winery is celebrating another wonderful harvest, and we are so excited for this amazing vintage of wine made right here in Sandpoint. We continually work to keep our menu of delectable bites fresh and new. They're always made from scratch and seek to pair effortlessly with our award-winning wines. Come try October's Wine of the Month, our 2021 Sangiovese, with one of our signature pizzas while viewing Christina Ludwig's beautiful artwork. We're located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint and open 12 to 8 Tuesday through Saturday. The Pondere Winery, venting excellence for the past 30 years.
Winter Ridge is ushering in fall with a plethora of seasonal goodness. From pumpkin spice popcorn to warming teas, we have all of your autumnal needs at the store. Remember, it's soup season. The deli has 4 available daily. Don't forget the baguette. Squash is making an appearance in produce. Grown locally, we have varieties you can only dream about. We will also be offering it cubed for your own homemade recipes. The organic cider has arrived. Hot or cold, it's delicious and refreshing. Winter Ridge, local, natural, delicious, on the corner of Lake and Boyer in Sandpoint.
Hot tubs, hot tub, hot tub. Major manufacturers and warehouses clearance of new 2025 inventory.
Today through Sunday.
Spokane County Fair and Expo Center. Over 100 hot tubs on display and everything must go. New 2025 inventory. Hot tubs starting at $29.95.
All inventory 40 to 80% off.
See the revolutionary swim spa in action and save up to 60%.
Trade-ins welcome. Free delivery.
We'll even haul away your old hot tub.
Worry-free installation.
18-month interest-free financing.
Millions of dollars of inventory must be sold.
Spokane County Fair and Expo Center. Free admission.
Free parking.
Call 833-SPA-SALE.
News Talk 97.1.
All right. Everyone join me and say hello and welcome to Sandpoint Council candidate Joe Tate. Joe, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. You know, everybody wants to get to know the candidates. They want to get to know you. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your work, your education, you know, what's going on.
Sure. So I was born and raised here in Sandpoint, Idaho, born in 1984 in a house over on 4th Avenue to a midwife. grew up in the area, attended elementary school at Washington, went to 6th grade in Stidwell Middle School, Sandpoint Middle School, graduated Sandpoint High of class 2002. My parents divorced, the two sets of great parents, a stepdad and a stepmom. They both still live here. I have some family that still lives here, nieces and nephews. And I decided to spread my wings and go off to Bozeman, Montana for college, where I crashed just like a lot of people do in the college setting. And kind of a misdiagnosed ADHD kid from a young age, and that kind of led into drugs and alcohol. And I found a pretty severe addiction through college, got in trouble for some legal issues, and eventually that kind of led to an intervention of sorts and took off to Arizona in 2009 to go to an inpatient rehab. And after successful rehab, I landed in Colorado in the Roaring Fork Valley in between Glenwood Springs and Aspen at another men's like aftercare rehabilitation 90-day program.
Awesome.
And so through that, I got introduced to the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And a big part of the 12 steps is to carry the message to an alcoholic or an addict who is still suffering. So going to this treatment program, I gained this new healthy community, found kind of a new lease on life, so to speak. And through doing the 12 steps and getting sober, I volunteered at the rehab. I worked and volunteered at a youth recovery center in another town close by. Eventually got hired at both of those places, and I felt like I was finally like in the right seat, and I was helping and being of service. And I got to a place where in Colorado, it was getting expensive to live there around that time, around 2015. I decided I needed to move home. You know, my family's still here, and it was just time. I needed to come home. I was like very nostalgic for Sandpoint. And so I moved back here in 2016 in January, and I had a job lined up at Northwest Academy up in the Ruby Creek area of Naples.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there for about 2 years, and it was great. It was working with a different population. Substance abuse was kind of my little like recreational education. And I was working around a lot of therapists, and I just knew that there was like more I could do, but I didn't have the education yet. And, you know, back up, I finished my bachelor's degree in Colorado in sustainability studies. And that was like sustainability in the economy and in the environment and social equity.
Mm.
And so I really latched onto that social equity piece where, you know, you can't necessarily put a price on fixing someone's mental illness or addiction, because, you know, addiction is going to cost people down the road, you know, the prisons and jails and, you know, all the things.
And pain. Lots of different people.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not just an individual disease. It's a family disease, right?
Yeah. And everybody. Or victims.
Correct. Yeah. So I come up here, I work a couple years, and I kind of plateau in my job professionally. And one of the therapists up there is like, go to grad school. And yeah. I hate school. I barely made it through high school. I kicked and screamed through college. And like the last thing I wanted to do was go back to school. And I kicked it around and I found Gonzaga, was accepted to Gonzaga and realized how expensive it was. And I've spent a lot of money by this point,
mm-hmm.
College and rehab. And then I, at the last second, I find U of I in Coeur d'Alene with this, you know, accredited program for counseling at in-state prices. Sold. So
yeah.
Enrolled in there, kind of went off, just went into school full-time mostly. Did my internship at Kinixu Health, which is great. Like I cut my teeth at Kinixu and got to meet like, you know, veteran clients and Medicaid clients and Medicare and people with no insurance and so much trauma. It was just, you know, I came into into my grad school thinking I'm going to be an addiction guy because that's my thing, right? And I find trauma and I find like community like at so many different levels. And I'm like, this is my town. Holy crap. Like, am I allowed to say crap on?
Yes, you okay, can.
Sorry. I start swearing when I get a little passionate, especially at work. Anyways, so that led me into becoming a mental health therapist. And I worked at Kinexu for a few years. And then I left and went to the Human Connection. It's the clinic here in town.
I know the Human Connection. Eric Ridgway and Ridgway. Kaylee. Yes.
Yeah, great people. They provided me a great opportunity. And I got to bring my golden retriever, Rex, who is an unofficial therapy dog. And he's in the office with me at all times. And
I love it.
He's a big part of the therapy that I do professionally. So a couple years with Eric at the Human Connection, and then I hung my own shingle at called Sandpoint Mental Health Counseling. Very generic name, and I have an office kind of over by the pole yard off of Division towards Baldy. And so I've been there for a couple years just doing my thing, credentialed with like every insurance I could think of. I still accept Medicaid. I'm in the process of getting Medicare, and that's been something that's really near and dear to my heart, is to be able to accept as many people as possible, because I know therapy can be expensive and it can be inaccessible for a lot of people, especially with kind of, you know, the income disparity in our community and in the country. So I'm, you know, just getting in the groove. I'm working. I'm very busy, very full as far as caseload goes.
You know, I have a quick question here. I don't want to totally interrupt, but I do. And that is, this journey you've been on is so interesting. And though it turns out, you know, different for different people, but that's not an uncommon journey. You know, we go to college, we mess up a little bit, or we don't mess up a lot, but whatever. And then we finally find traction some way with its career and getting clean and coming home and whatever. And you've done all of that. So what my question is, Joe, is what on this journey you've been on, and now here you are with your own business, your degree, your shingle, you're licensed, that you can bring to the Sandpoint. What are those skill sets that you've developed that you can bring to Sandpoint City Council?
Great question. So why I chose city council is just another layer to being of service and being a volunteer. And my mom would volunteer at the Monarch House. And I don't know if anybody knows what the Monarch House is, but it's the...
Is that the women's drug?
No, that's the Magnolia House.
Oh, yes.
So the Monarch House is now Panhandle Special Needs. And so she volunteered there from a young age, brought us around. So I was in this kind of volunteer upbringing. So being of service and working in the community has been just kind of a calling for me. And so realizing that I had enough time on my hands and kind of weighing my professional life and my personal life, city council just kind of came up. It's been on the back burner for a little while. And I've had, you know, people kind of whisper in my ear, I think you'd be good for that sort of calling.
What about city code, state code, and budgets? Have you had some experience with any of those kinds of things that you'll be confronted with? Not that we can't learn.
Sure.
I mean, we learn.
Sure.
On curves, we all go into jobs. But what's your experience?
You know, I'm on a crash course. I am a procrastinator, kind of a perfectionist procrastinator, back to the ADHD stuff. So when it comes down to it, I learn it. Mm-hmm. And I do not like to be ill prepared when I'm in a meeting or, you know, so as I've been, after I declared for city council, crash course on city code, crash course on the city budget. And It's definitely a lot more than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I'm really going to just kind of pivot to my ability to listen, to problem solve, to, you know, understand everybody's perspective and why we disagree in a lot of things. And I think those are the real skills that I'm going to bring to city council. So if I'm elected,
and then obviously find a solution or a conclusion to bring it to an end.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's the next step.
Yeah. I feel like I've strong critical thinking skills. And I think in systems, like a systems thinking approach is a thing that's, I was taught in college, and I've brought that into, you know, every avenue of my life.
All right. Well, let me ask then the first issues question that I have that's on everybody's mind. That's the wastewater treatment, this big $130 million bond. Mm-hmm. First of all, what is your position on that and why?
My position is 100% for the bond. I think that the system is nearly extinct, and there's a lot at stake if we don't replace this system. Mm-hmm. Not to mention just the public health and the river, but we have to do something. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when this thing goes kaput, right? So from what I've gathered through my research and, you know, talking to a lot of people about this thing, a lot of professionals, and is that, you know, the bond is just the way that we're going to finance it. And if we want to be fiscally responsible, which I know North Idaho and Idaho in general is on the fiscally conservative side, and we really want to know where our dollars are going, you know, if we as a community, if what we do now is going to really dictate what happens in the future. And I use this with a lot of my clients. It says, in a month from now, in a year from now, in 3 years from now, you're going to look back at what you did right now, presently. And are you going to be happy about it, or are you going to regret it? And so we have to ask those questions, and we got to look at the financing. And if people have questions, then ask. There's a ton of people. Like Sandpoint has a great, the city of Sandpoint has a great,
they have an unbelievable website. You can get the answer, everything you want to know about wastewater treatment, financing, and everything is there if you want to read it. Or go to some of the meetings.
For
I
sure.
think there's still a meeting left to do.
And I understand the don't trust the government piece, and the city council has lost some trust in the community in the last few years. I know the county, on the county level, there's some things that have happened within the commissioners and all that. And all I can say is that the transparency Sandpoint is providing on this is pretty clear.
Yeah.
And I would be really, I don't like to live in regret. So I'm going to fully back this. And I was hoping to be able to talk about this today as a platform, not just for me, but the bond, like mm-hmm. whoever you vote for on Tuesday, you get three choices out of four people, and then one choice over there on the other side,
which is the bond. Yes. Correct. Or no.
Yep.
And you're saying yes. Well, for what it's worth, I say yes too, but who cares? I'm not running for city council.
Well, that makes two of us, I've already voted too. So.
I haven't voted yet, but
okay.
I will.
Okay, good.
One other quick thought on the bond for you to respond to, and that is, one, there is an advantage to the bond that maybe a lot of people are not aware of, and that is having a bond that's approved, and the community is like, into this deal, they've got some skin in the game, helps with leveraging that for other funding that might ultimately even reduce that $130 million with other kinds of funding. Mm-hmm. Comment on that, and do you think is that all true?
As far as what the...
That it will leverage, it may leverage additional funding if the bond is passed.
Sure. And, you know, I'm not the most... I wouldn't say I'm versed in the whole, like, the financial piece of how bonds are written in financing giant projects like this. The only thing I could say is just as a regular guy out there is that this is going to be very expensive, and it's going to be very expensive, much more expensive if we do it later, like as an emergency situation, like back against the wall. Like we're going to have to, you know, pay for materials last minute, hire people on
short
an emergency
term
basis.
Financing, higher
sure.
interest rates.
For
yeah.
sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
just to share with you, Joe, and with the audience in talking to the mayor, talking to all the candidates, Joel Isperro and Rick Howarth that are on the, and other people actually also, there is agreement that once, if the bond can pass, then they can use that chunk of money and that in commitment by the city and the community voters to leverage either federal money or state money that may ultimately reduce that one. Maybe we can get $10 million from the feds. So now we're talking our cost might be $120 million.
Sure.
But those are, and that's May, there was a lot of agreement that that is one of the powers of a bond because you get other people on board. If we're just going out getting a construction loan, nobody wants to help us pay off
for sure.
some
for
kind
sure.
of high interest construction
yep.
loan.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll just throw that out. Mm-hmm. But we're up against a break right now. We're going to take that break and we'll be right back with Joe Tate.
It's time to look and feel better. It's time to get back into shape. Take action at Natural Fitness Gym. Natural Fitness gives you two locations at one great price. In Sandpoint on Superior Street and in Pondere on Schweitzer Plaza Drive. Join today and you'll have 24-hour access to some of the best exercise equipment available. Clean atmosphere and friendly staff combined with rate choices that fit your needs. Join Natural Fitness and get results today.
At Kiniksu Community Health, we find your health appealing. So we say, when life gives you lemons, squeeze them. To check for abnormalities, that is, it's important to know the signs of breast cancer. Cancerous lumps often feel hard, like a lemon seed, and are usually immovable. They can be any shape or size. If you feel something abnormal, contact your healthcare provider to get screened for breast cancer right away. Early detection can save lives. Start finding your health appealing. For more information, visit kchnorthidaho.org.
Why choose Kroc Coatings for your concrete?
Our neighbor had Kroc Coatings come up and do their driveway. And so I watched theirs for a year or two, and it looked fantastic. And I got a hold of Kylie at Kroc Coatings, and she was fantastic. Everything went perfectly. It went exactly as she said it would. The coating that Kroc put on solved all the problems. Not only would I recommend Kroc Coatings, but I have.
One thing people don't realize is our product actually makes a chemical bond with the concrete. Most of our competitors and other products you have to annually maintain. Because those products sit on top or they evaporate or they wear off or they pressure wash off, ours does not do any of that. So ours is making a chemical bond with the concrete, becomes one with the concrete. It's not going anywhere.
Upgrade your garage, patio, or basement today with a new Kroc floor. Go to croccoatings.com/radio. That's croccoatings.com/radio.
Starting November 1st here at Sportsman Ski House in Coeur d'Alene, you can take advantage of our season rental program. Rent shop equipment while it lasts. Take it home. Return it next spring at a fraction of the cost of buying equipment. What a great way to stretch a budget. Also, starting November 1st, sign up for our Winter Golf League. It'll keep you and your teammate on the course with our TrackMan simulator all winter. Season ski rentals and Winter Golf League. Sportsman Ski House, 213 West Ironwood in Coeur d'Alene.
If it's been a while since you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, you need to get in there. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise Foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays, located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Pondere. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
North Idaho's Radio.
Seven,
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. As usual, we have a great program going on for you. I am so glad that you're able to be with us because you are going to get to meet, greet, and listen to Sandpoint City Council candidate Joe Tate. He's one of four names that are up for election for three positions, and you guys are the ones that are making that decision, and it's all going to happen next Tuesday, November the 4th. All right, Joe, I have a question kind of more about your political approach to things and why you're running for Sandpoint City Council. Mm-hmm.
And what was the question specifically?
What is it that you want to do?
Okay.
And why you're running?
Why I'm running?
Kind of your overarching thing.
Yeah, the overarching thing, you know, is the just being from Sandpoint, raised here, educated here, you know, at least through high school. I have this like deep connection and this sense of like protection and duty to this town. And I've seen it change a ton. Some ways I'm not super happy about. Other ways I am more than proud to call Sandpoint my hometown.
Yeah.
So having someone that is like born and raised on city council, I don't know if there's anybody on city council that's actually born here. Not that that's like a factor that is a requirement. However, when I hear, you know, the planning and zoning and the parks and rec and the mayor or whoever bring in these ideas and wanting to change Sandpoint or do things, I'm going to look at it through the lens of like, as I was a little kid running around on these streets.
You have some historical background to kind of do some comparisons.
For sure.
So how are you going to protect, what are some of the ways that you can see that we can protect Sandpoint?
One council meeting, and it was maybe less than a month ago, the Jason Welker and Holly were in there talking about the U of I neighborhood, the old U of I property, and I don't know the name of the neighborhood, Base Camp or something. And they were talking about turning the streets facing or having the houses oriented towards Boyer and slowing Boyer down and making it more like a neighborhood rather than a 35 mile per hour truck route.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the council members were like, wow, that's cool. They saw the images of it. And I said, like, I've been driving that street ever since I was a little baby. Right. And like to turn that area instead of like long fenced in neighborhood, just where it's just like this, like portal to
Schweitzer roundabout,
Conoco or whatever.
To the roundabout, right?
And nothing about against Councilman Howarth, but he was the one that said it's too late. I don't think we can do that. It's too late. We've already passed the point of no return. And I was just an observer of this council meeting, but I was wanted to stand up and be like, whoa, it got voted on like to pass it. But that's the kind of stuff that I could be able to, you know, bring to my fellow council people and mm-hmm. say, like, this is a potential like neighborhood that we can revitalize in a road that's just like, you know, hammered by semi trucks all the time. Like, could you imagine having that in our town? Like, that's great.
That's a really interesting perspective and a good issue. So tell our audience other top issues, other priorities if elected on the council that you are concerned about, that you would get behind, that you want to sponsor maybe.
Sure.
Even if they're ongoing, they're already, you know, on the table.
Yeah. One of the things, like, you know, I come from like a kind of a social standpoint of like, how do we reinvest in our communities in a social way? You know, people that have a roof over their head, food in their bellies, safe neighborhoods, like they're going to be showing up for work on time. They're going to be healthy, happy, you know, recreation's a big, you know, exercise is the most powerful antidepressant. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know. I'm just wondering how the city council is going to wake everybody up and get them to work on time, but go ahead.
For sure. No, well, I mean, like, so if the city can you, that's a good point. So if the city, you know, we don't build homes, obviously, but we can create areas and codes that can encourage affordable living, where people can afford to live there. And if they can afford their rent, they can afford their food. They can afford to put their kids in rec soccer or a volleyball league or, you know, those types of things, like to hit the, you know, a holistic approach at this, right?
Right.
So the city can do those things, and you got to be strategic. You got to think a little bit bigger, a little bigger picture, use the systems thinking approach that I mentioned earlier. Everything's connected.
Mm-hmm. Any other issues that you have that may be before the council right now, or that you anticipate will come up, whether it's maybe a fiscal issue or taxing?
I know the taxing, and the city doesn't have a lot of money, and it's hard to get revenue through taxes. The average Idaho person doesn't like taxes. And there's some trade-offs to that. We don't have high taxes. We don't have a lot of money in our education. Don't have high taxes. We got to pay for stuff, right? One of the things that I did want to speak on was the Farm and Flats project. Mm-hmm. And it's going up right next to where my mother, her primary care provider goes. And so she's like hearing it from just the doctor's office next door point of view. And it seems like somewhere in the coding and somewhere in the process of getting permits and whatnot that, you know, I don't know what happened, but there's a lot of pushback. And so those are
from the community or from city council?
From the community, as far as parking, like how many units this place is going to have and where are they going to park? And is that going to, how will that affect the downtown?
So why is that a priority for you? What is it that's concerning you?
Well, it's an issue that is creating some waves. And so when the city does something that creates an issue, we got to listen to that, right? Mm-hmm. And those who don't learn from history
have to repeat it.
Very good. So if we don't learn from this thing, we got to be able to build that into our future. And like, I know the comp plan says, hey, we want to have like a diverse downtown corridor or whatever they call it. Which includes dwelling units and businesses, and that, and it's going to require parking. And so we, you know, systems thinking again, maybe that's will be one of my first lines of business, is to teach everybody at the city council what systems thinking is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a theory, it's a practice.
You know, one of the things that I'm trying to think, I'm pretty sure it was the mayor, and I like your opinion on this, speaking of the downtown corridor and sometimes parking, making parking exemptions, one of the concepts is to keep it more of a walking also corridor, so there's more outdoor tables and chairs, and instead of being, and I don't have any problem with Walmart and all the big car dealerships and everything in Pondre, but it is a concrete parking mm-hmm. thing. There's no walking. I went to my dealership for, I don't know, probably oil or something, and I was going to walk while they worked on my car, and it was just like really difficult. So you want to maintain, and the way you maintain that is to limit parking. Big parking mm-hmm. garages and big parking lots.
Sure.
And you push it out a little bit so people are kind of forced to park out here mm-hmm. and then walk two blocks to get someplace. You're a block and a half to get to City Beach. What's your opinion on that? Because I found that all very intriguing and persuasive.
You know, I've met some city planners, some urban developers in my history. And those people, it's like a legit like master's degree, bachelor's degree of like thinking through those issues and being able to come up with healthy solutions and all that. And I know for a fact Sandpoint has some people on staff that are doing that work. Like they are behind the scenes, they're doing the research.
Do you like it? Do you agree? Disagree? We know they're doing it. Oh, okay.
Absolutely agree. Yeah. I love to ride bikes. I walk. I live right across Fifth Avenue from Mr. Subs, and that's a pretty hard place to cross the street. There is a crosswalk, but there's no
flags. There's no flags.
No, there's flags.
Oh, there is a flag.
But there's also texting and driving, and you know, people just thinking it's like a place to roll coal in their big diesel trucks and stuff. And so I go to the gym across the street and I talk to people that I know that live in the neighborhood. And I'm like, did you drive over here or did you walk? And they look at me like that, the fact that I walked there, and they're like, how the hell did you go across that? That's crazy. It's like walking across it, you know, yeah, an interstate.
I walk a lot too. I cross Highway 2. Yeah. I cross Boyer and
for sure.
I cross Division.
And you got to keep your head on a swivel.
I'm very careful. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
But to answer the question, yes, yeah. I think parking is definitely an issue. I think walkability should supersede parking.
At least in certain corridors.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's fast down through town. Like,
real quick, what about parking at City Beach? They're coming up with, you know, like annual costs to for, you know, city residents, county residents, mm-hmm. visitors. What do you think of that in general?
I think it's a great idea. From what I've heard, you know, I don't spend a lot of time at City Beach. It's crowded, but I am a local and I know the little local places around the lake that I can get to and take my dog swimming because I'm a dog owner and I can't bring a dog to City Beach. but I do hear that there's so many out-of-state plates down there and they sit in those spots all day long.
Yep.
And, you know, I love the tourism. I mean, my family owns a clothing store in town. Like, tourism is put the food on the table, you know? And so if there was some kind of limitation to be able to allow residents, not just city residents, but I think the county residents need to have to be kind of included in this parking plan.
And they are included. They just pay a little bit more because
sure.
I'm already paying as you are for City Beach.
For sure. For sure.
So if I
yeah.
have to do another $15 a year,
mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. More money coming in from the county people.
I agree. Yep.
You know?
Yeah. So I think it's just it's a growing pain. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting to the place of our population is gaining. Our tourism is booming. I think whatever we do as far as parking goes, it needs to prioritize the public first, the taxpayers first,
right.
You know, the established residents.
Right.
We don't need to be forgotten because if we get forgotten.
We love everybody from Washington, but they may have to pay a little bit more, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I think that makes sense to me.
Absolutely.
I've got relatives over there in Washington. Yeah, pony up.
Yeah.
All right, we're up against our last break.
Okay,
we're
going
to take it right now. When we come back, we've got a lot more conversation with Joe Tate.
The Habitat for Humanity's very own ReStore in Sandpoint has been a long-time go-to source for new and used building supplies, furniture, appliances, electrical, plumbing, windows, doors, and so much more. Everything you need for all your home building and remodeling projects. Prices are 50% lower or more than most retail outlets. Stop by the ReStore in Sandpoint on Baldy Park Drive next to Miller's Country Store. Visit them at iphfh.org.
Interest rates are high, the market's unpredictable, and home sales are slowing way down. But here's the thing, we're still buying, and not just one or two. We've bought over 500 homes from folks right here in Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. This is Chad Young with the EasyHomeBuyer.com. We've helped people during divorce, inherited properties, foreclosures, you name it. Through it all, one thing hasn't changed. We keep our promises. We're local, we're experienced, and we're not going anywhere. In fact, we just rolled out our highest offer guarantee, a program that allows us to actually overpay for the right homes. It's not a gimmick. It's how we compete and how we win for our sellers. There's no pressure, no fees, and you close when you're ready. No repairs, no cleanup, and no open houses. Just one quick conversation that could completely change your situation. Call me today at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000.
Pick up the phone to inquire.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-738-9900. 800-738-9900. That's 800-738-9900.
Paid for by Wesley Financial Group.
Bone, joint, or muscle issues can make even simple tasks or favorite activities a challenge. At Bonner General Orthopedics, we provide advanced results-focused care using the latest technology. Our expert team explores every option, surgical and non-surgical, and only recommends surgery if it's truly the best path for you and your health goals. We're here to help you get back to living life on your terms. Call Bonner General Orthopedics today at 208-263-8597 or visit bonnergeneral.org to learn more.
North Idaho's Radio 97.1.
Hey, everybody, I am so glad to be with you today. You know, it's really fun to be here on a Friday. So thank you for joining us. Thank you, Joe Tate, for being with us, coming in, being gracious about my screw-up on Tuesday that I don't know who I was sending my alerts to, but they weren't going to you. So thank you, everyone, for making this happen. So there was a recent city council meeting. By the way, Joe Tate, I'm sure you know by now, if you're listening to the show or you've been, you know, paying attention to what's going on, he is a candidate for Sandpoint City Council. He will be on your ballot on Tuesday the 4th, and so he's here seeking your vote. So, Joe, recently at a city council meeting, there was a walkout, and there was an issue about, you know, the city attorney and whether the contract had, you know, expired or not. And I think it was three members of the council walked out. Did you agree? Do you agree or disagree with what they did?
I agree with them. And from what I gathered, what had happened that day, and that was one of the very first in-person council meetings that I attended. And it was like uncomfortable, like having the council, confront the mayor in that way. And I know Joel was kind of the spearhead of it.
Definitely.
But from what I think, there's more context to it. I don't think it was just Joel like doing Joel things. Like, I think he was, you know, more the senior person on the council, and he kind of just said, okay, I'll be the one to speak up. And from what I looked from, you know, a fly on the wall, it looked like all six of the council members were in agreement that this was going to happen, just because three of them were like first to stand up and walk out. I don't think it was that only three people walked out. I think all of them looked like that was just my like outsider's perspective of what had happened.
Well, I'm going to push back because to my mind, I have no excuse for elected officials at an official meeting mm-hmm. to walk out. I don't care what you think your reason is. Stay there and do your business. If you want to argue, if you want to debate, if you want to postpone it, if you vote on it, you know, we're going to postpone this. Who agrees? You know, really irritated me because, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm going to push back a little bit.
No, please
see
do.
What you both, see what you think.
Okay.
Because they all had to come back. I mean, they all had to come back to the meeting and confront the issue. So, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
But it bugged me because I thought, I can't believe your solution is to walk out. So how do you respond to that?
You know, and hearing your perspective, like that's a great perspective. And I agree with that perspective. I think there's many different ways to deal with confrontation and conflict. That was an effective way. They got their point across. Was it in the best interests of the city residents and people that were kind of like setting aside a time to sit in on a city council meeting? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
I do want to say that after it was all said and done, I did appreciate the mayor, owning it and not, you know, he wasn't going to point fingers. He kind of owned the mistake. And Yeah, it's not the best use of time. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a correlation between the relation of the city councilman and the mayor, like a marriage, but I'm here to give a little marriage. When the gauntlet's down, please don't walk out of the room because there is nothing good that can happen.
I mean,
with a husband and a wife, if the husband or the wife walks out of the room, it's like, okay, you just lost.
So enter the couples counselor, Joe Tate here.
Yes.
Gottman. I'm a Gottman level one trained, and that would be an example of stonewalling. And stonewalling is one of the four horsemen, according to the Gottman training method. So
I think that's not a good thing.
No, it's not.
Exactly.
Nope. And there's an antidote to the stonewalling, and
that's the walkout. What's the answer?
It's self-soothing and being able to say, hey, like, I'm too activated in the moment. Would it be okay if I took a short break to come back and we will finish
say
this conversation?
Something? Yeah.
And then you got to circle back and show up.
Yeah. Of course, that's marriage, not a council meeting. All right.
For sure.
Are you endorsing anyone else who is running? Are you endorsing Joel or Rick or Joshua?
Officially not endorsing anybody. I've never been asked that question. I think, Joel has great things that he's offered the city. He's been around. I really truly believe that he has the city's best interest. I didn't know Rick very well. All I knew that he was appointed by the mayor. And I got to hear him speak a little bit, and I think he's got some great things to say and do, and he seems genuine, you know, looks you in the eyes and shakes your hand. And then Josh, I've known Josh a little bit, and I've got to know him through this race, and I'd feel pretty confident if I didn't win that those three guys are going to do fine.
But you want people to vote for you.
Just me.
Just
yes.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
I have another question about something that the council was looking at, and that's this whole open container thing. They wanted to make an exemption for the Chafe race because traditionally they all come in from that race and they hang out at City Beach and they drink and they have beer. And the whole thing just fascinates me as to how all that healthy exercise thing works together with the beer thing. But what's your position on that? If you were on the city council, I know it hasn't been voted on yet, but they're considering it, and it sounded like the conversation was going, favorably toward allowing this exemption if it's legal. What's your position?
I was involved in that city council meeting as well when it came up, and the slippery slope scenario was kind of where all the council members stood, and they said, if we let one group, we're going to have to let them all. And do we want our crown jewel, beautiful city beach to have
any city property?
Correct. To have alcohol and, you know, that going on. And so that was kind of the quick say no to it. As it's been more discussed and weighed on, and it sounds like the city has got to a place where they're going to give them like an acre in the middle on some grass and et cetera. So I stand with, I like it. Okay. And I like the fact that it's
like a limited exemption
for sure. And I like the fact that it's a nonprofit, and this nonprofit is doing such great things within our community.
All right. That's excellent. We're up against our time, and you get to say goodbye to the audience.
Thank you, audience, wherever you are in Bonner County or Sandpoint, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in, on a Friday. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And vote for?
Vote for Joe Tate. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram if you have any more things, and reach out to me on those platforms if there's anything I can do if I am elected.
All right. Excellent. That's our program for today. Thank you to Joe Tate. He is seeking your vote next Tuesday for Sandpoint City Council. Next week on Tuesday, right here with me, honoring our veterans, we've got Tom Lindley, our Bonner County Veteran Services Officer, and Derek Stevens. He's a veteran and a business owner, battle-born outdoor Idaho, all about hunting and fishing and helping our veterans connect adapt and do their thing out there in the woods. Today, I get to share another quick quote from our founding fathers. Today, it's Benjamin Franklin. I did it on Tuesday. I want to do it again today. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs the affairs of men." So until next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to slow down. God bless America.